Chad, thanks for doing the podcast today. This is quite the environment you have here in the Raleigh office at HPE, and this is the first podcast I think I've done on a sofa, so yeah. Thanks for the cozy environment. Yeah. It should be conducive to our conversation.
Yeah, we rolled it out just for you.
Yeah, well, I don't believe that, because actually this place is pretty sweet that you've got set up. Before we get into what our core topic is, tell us a little more about what you do at HPE and what brings you here to Raleigh to hang with us for the day.
Sure. My name's Chad Browninger. I'm a principal product manager for solutions with the X10000.
Okay.
And we're here in the Raleigh Triangle office. We're going to talk about the Data Protection Accelerator with the X10000.
Yeah, so X10000, we did a deep piece on B10000.
Yeah.
So this is similar but different. Talk about that, because HPE made the decision, gosh, I guess it's been, two and a half years now to fundamentally change the way you were looking at storage from a hardware perspective.
Yeah.
And the X10000 is another bit of that story.
It is. The X10000 is the next chapter. So where the B10000 is sort of our heritage in block structured storage.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of that story is unstructured.
Right. Right.
So X10000 from the ground up is HPE IP.
Mm-hmm.
So not through acquisition, just real innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the unstructured platform that mirrors block. So it's built on the same MP platform.
Right.
However, the software stack above it is all object and soon to be file.
So this is the thing, though. Like, we hear that and we talk about B10K and X10K, but I think of those as primary storage arrays. And now we're going to sit here and talk about X10K as a backup target.
Yeah.
That's wild. How did we get here? How did you get here in terms of an all-flash, fully HA architecture for backup?
Yeah. It just made sense to us when we started talking about it.
To
be completely honest with you, we saw the high I/O, we saw the performance, and we were looking at the X10000 as more than just a storage array. It's a platform.
Mm-hmm.
And our approach to this from the beginning has been about solutions. What kind of solutions can we meet our customers with? And how can the X10000 be the platform that underpins that solution? So
okay.
We knew what we built.
Okay.
We were very excited about it, but we wanted to meet our customers where they were. And data protection is a huge part of every customer's story.
And it's only becoming more and more important. I mean, we don't have to rehash the ransomware and all the attacks and all that kind of thing. The other thing, though, that this helps solve for is the data explosion, which we've been talking about now every year.
It gets tiring saying it,
yeah.
But it never goes away.
Well, AI makes it worse, right?
And AI makes it even worse.
So AI makes it worse for data availability, also data creation, and now no one wants to throw away anything, because when you're training those models, the more data, the better in many cases, right?
Yeah. And cleaning that data takes space. So you need workspace, right? And so all these companies are trying to figure out how do they get to AI.
Mm-hmm.
Setting up a technology stack that can do things like AI pipelines and training models and all of that, it's not easy. But what companies are finding to be an even bigger challenge is getting their data ready that process.
Sure.
So garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
So getting your data ready takes workspace, and it takes a platform for you to be able to do that on. The X10000 can be both.
So you've got this platform, it's got all flash, it's got high speed networking. What's in the X10K now for networking?
It currently goes up to 100 gigabit.
Right.
And I believe they're about to certify 200 gigabit.
So 100 gig is fast, right, for most data. And then you guys decided we're gonna sell this as a backup target, but then we're going to make it go even faster by putting this data protection accelerator node in front of it. So you guys were already thinking about performance, and then you're like sitting around the table and someone's like, you know what, we can make it go faster if we offload some stuff to this accelerator node?
we got there.
Okay.
So I think it really started with how do we add more value, right? So we can point one of our partners, backup software stack at the X10000. And like you said, it can go fast.
Right.
And that's exciting. And we thought that was very cool. And the next question wasn't how do we make it go faster? The question was how do we get more value out of this process? And for us, the answer was make that process more efficient.
Okay.
So in the storage world, in this role, I uniquely straddle storage and data protection, mm-hmm. and they really are two different worlds.
Absolutely.
And so if you talk to the storage people, it's about I/O, and it's about usable capacity.
Okay.
If you talk to somebody in the data protection world, it's about effective capacity. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to be able to bring that to the X10000. So the X10000 does have some compression with it, but a data protection customer is not going to be as interested. And so we at HPE have our own Catalyst technology that currently lives inside of the StoreOnce product mm-hmm. family. And we wanted to be able to bring that Catalyst technology into the X10000 fold. And so the Catalyst technology has an industry-leading dedupe, on average, 20 to 1. We've seen it peak up over 60 to 1, which is pretty
depending
incredible.
Depending on the data,
depending on the data, depending on the day of the week. So what we did was we basically took this StoreOnce software and we put it onto a different chassis. We added memory, we mm-hmm. added compute, we added NVMe drives. And then instead of storing the data on the unit itself, like a StoreOnce would work, we just direct pass it, stream it straight through to the X10000. So what's happening is the data protection accelerator is doing all the heavy lifting. It's grinding on the dedupe and the encryption, all of the work intensive processes for data management. Mm-hmm. And then it's just streaming that data directly to and storing it securely on the X10000.
So let's the X10000 continue to do its job and offer the data services it has within, and then just sits in that data path, accelerating. And I'm talking a lot about backing up, but also on the recovery side,
too. On the recovery as well.
So talk about the importance of the accelerator node on recovery, because it's sort of trafficking this data back to the host that needs the restore.
Yeah.
What's going on the other way out?
So most customers don't use restore in a catastrophic event, but that's becoming more and more common these days. So the questions that we get asked is if and more recently when it happens, I need to be able to get it back fast. Mm-hmm. And I need to be confident that when I tell my management and my CEO that we have a solution in place that we can recover, that I mean it and that we can. and so this does that. So what's happening in the data path is as you move that deduplicated data off of the X10000, it needs to put all the bits and pieces back together.
Right.
And that's where having a flash system to do it really changes the game. So all that data is coming back through the DPA, it's getting put back together, and then it's getting deposited on whatever the target is.
And you talked before about working with partners. The work that we've been doing with your team on this solution has been with Commvault, but you work with several other software. So you can kind of meet your customer where they are.
That's the idea. So every customer has an environment in place. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be customers.
But you don't have any customers that are not backing up data? That would be, you know what? That probably exists somewhere.
There are going to be customers that are going to say, hey, look, this is a great solution, and I want to buy it with some Commvault and some Veeam, right? And we can help them with that.
Right.
In my prior life, I spent 21 years on the buy side of things, and we had a very robust environment already. And when we bought more storage, we brought that storage and those solutions into our space. Mm-hmm. And what you don't want to do is necessarily force these teams that are managing all of this data protection for these very large companies mm-hmm. To switch what they're using to do it. We wanted to make sure that we were a flexible solution, and we weren't forcing somebody down a particular path.
So what's the early read? I know you announced this last year, right? And you started shipping in the last several weeks. Yeah. What's the feedback you're hearing from customers that are trying this out? Because this is kind of a net new idea. Flash targets, we've seen high performance flash targets. And even, you know, personally, as I go to these conferences like Veeam's conference or whatever, I saw the progression of their partners showing up at the show. You know, it used to be big bulky hard drive arrays, and then they would do a hybrid array, and then an all flash array, and then it was primary storage there, and I was like, whoa, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But the accelerator node is not a common thing. And in fact, I can't think of anyone else that's doing it. Is anyone doing this yet?
I'm not aware of anybody. So we did some research to see what's going on out there.
I suppose you probably did.
And no, I think that we're the only one that's doing it right now. And so, we really like that the idea of this, you know, adding a node for this purpose. So a little bit of spec, and we won't get too deep on it, but each of these data protection accelerators can manage up to 2 petabytes of data on the X10,000.
Right.
So that's a lot more than maybe a PBBA could do. But then when you have more than that, I mean, this is the X10,000 is a scaled system. I mean, we're talking about 5, 10, 20 petabytes. Mm-hmm. So, and it's the disaggregated shared everything architecture. So you can add more compute when you need more compute. You add more drives when you need more storage. Customers are going to grow, and so we had to think about it from that perspective, is what happens when their data grows and their data protection needs grow with it.
Okay.
And so one of the, I think, really key capabilities of the data protection accelerator is that it scales linearly. So if I have more data than 2 petabytes, I just stack another one.
Right.
And 4, 5, 6, 7, and
again, that's interfacing with the backup software, so that's still where the customer is managing their experience. Now, the accelerator nodes, as we've seen, have a little GUI, and they've got some telemetry
for the management of the accelerator.
Right, but for the
infrastructure, backup software sees it as the target.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And
neat.
So you point it at the DPA. But just real quick, and it's not just the capacity though, right? So, and this is for me, this is really really exciting. Is SLAs. Right, so I mean, if you have a 100 terabyte database, right, obviously one of these accelerators is more than enough to manage that. And you know, it's got a certain restore capability. Well, if I need my 100 terabyte database back in half of that time, I can stack a second DPA and use parallel streaming to get my stuff back.
Yeah.
So it's also as important for SLAs as it is for capacity management.
Well, I was asking you about the customers, and then I took you down a different trail. So what are the customers saying? Because what you're saying about impact on SLAs, this is kind of new, right? Because they were solving, how would they solve the SLA problem before? More hardware?
They would throw more network at it. They would throw more hardware at it.
Right.
They would ask for more time.
Extend the window, right?
Extend the window.
Yeah, so 4 hours is too long.
Yeah.
I need 6 or something like that.
And you know, and there's two aspects of it. There's the I can't get it all backed up in enough time. But then there's also I can only get it back in 12 hours, and I need to get it back in 4.
Right. And so this helps with that. And as they're playing with this, in doing POCs with you, it's got to be...
What's the feedback?
It's got to be kind of whiplash. If it's really a backup admin that's been suffering from this and you show up with a solution, like, that's got to be pretty wild for that guy.
You know, it's been interesting. I guess it should have been expected. It was a little bit, but I think once you experience it... The disbelief.
Like, no way you backed up all my VMs?
Come on. You're kidding me. And I'll believe it when I see it. And then it wasn't until customers started getting it in their environments and kicking the tires that the feedback started trickling in that they're very happy. And then we started getting comparisons to other competitors or even to some of our own stuff that we had in their environment. And I started hearing words like, it smokes, and they're really happy. So, you know, it's rolling out now. Customers seem to be happy. We're here today just to sort of, I wanted to blow the top off of this thing.
Yeah.
And just, I want to see what its limit is.
Well, you guys quote 1.2 petabytes an hour of ingest. Is that right?
That's right. So that's with four of the accelerators in front of a three-node X10000.
Yeah, I mean, that's quick.
It is.
So 300 terabytes an hour per
DPA.
Per unit. And so the sizing, I guess, for you guys could be related to capacity. It could be related to SLAs or performance. It just kind of depends. Some customers may use more or less of these accelerator nodes.
That's right.
Just based on whatever problem they're solving for.
That's exactly right. And that's how we should be talking to our customers, is what's important to you.
Right. Right?
And some customers just have a lot of data. And some customers just have really important data.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we're going to find a real mix of.
So you talked about the store once catalyst code being sort of fundamental that makes the accelerator node work. How does this, as we look at the HP data protection portfolio, how are you guys thinking about where the existing stuff with store once fits, where this fits? Like, how can customers start to think about X10000 with data protection accelerator in conjunction with the other products you offer?
First and foremost, scale. The larger customers, the large banks, the government accounts, they have a lot of data. And so when you start talking about multi-petabyte, 5, 10,
right.
20, that's a normal conversation for them.
And that sounds like, it used to sound like an impossible number, but
right.
You must be running into many multi-petabyte customers at this point.
Many.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, you've got a lot of smaller customers that are outgrowing themselves. And so these smaller backup solutions that they had in place, they're outgrowing them. They're trying to modernize. They're trying to future-proof. And they're thinking 2, 3, 4 years down the road, where am I going to be? And instead of forklifting, instead of rebuilding clusters and rebalancing and doing all the things that they're used to doing, now they could potentially have this disaggregated backend where they are, it's just one optimized storage pool, and they're just adding drives as they need them. And if they need more performance, they add more DPAs.
Yeah. Where is this going to go? Because it strikes me that, as we talked before about needing to have more data available, backing up more data, that backup hasn't historically innovated at the same pace as the rest of the data center. Because it worked, it just had to be there, had to be available. Now we're talking performance in ways that have never been discussed before for backup and recovery. I mean, you're going to be beholden to all sorts of new hardware realities, right? And maybe that's the opportunity. And with all the engineering you have, it's probably no big deal. But fabric's going to have to get faster. The drives are going to get bigger, probably more than faster. QLC sees a tremendous potential here too, right?
It is. So faster, more resilient, and more optimized. So I think right now what we're looking at is higher density networking, mm-hmm. And bringing this closer to the cluster.
Okay.
Those are probably our two biggest initiatives right now. And then, you know, obviously resiliency, HA is important to a lot of customers. Mm-hmm. We were really adamant about making sure that we had immutability right out of the gate. So really making sure that we've laid down a solid foundation has been table stakes, and then we can grow on that. And areas that we are looking at is making this backup data more valuable for our customers. So, you know, you've got all this data just sort of sitting out there, mm-hmm. collecting dust, waiting to be used. Usually it never is. Then it gets deleted. It gets backed up over again.
Right.
That's a lot of data that's just sitting there doing nothing. So how do we get that data and make that available to customers? And when you have a platform like the X10000, now all of a sudden you've got a multi-purpose platform that can do more than one thing at a time. Because this solution, while it is a backup or data protection solution, The X10000 is not a data protection product.
Right.
Right. So it's also doing AI pipelines. It's doing data lake. It's doing data fabric. It's doing all of these really scaled, workload intensive.
Big enterprise jobs. Yeah.
Yes. And so it can do more than one thing at a time. And we've really had a hard time throwing enough at the X10000. There's a lot
to
sitting.
To overwhelm it.
We cannot overwhelm it.
Right.
I'm sure we could, but it takes an awful lot. I mean, you saw what we had in the server room.
Yeah.
And we're barely touching.
The performance.
The X10000.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in there, let's talk about that, because you've stood up within your lab here about 3.5-4 racks of gear, of compute to back up, of a couple different X10K clusters, of I think you have 4 or 5 of the accelerator nodes in there.
Yep.
You've made a commitment with hardware in your lab to make sure that you're testing this and seeing what it does for real.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, as the product manager, I want to be able to talk to my customers confidently, mm-hmm. Having pushed the system to its limits, mm-hmm. so that I can tell them, you know, what their operating range is. I can help them understand how to maximize the configuration, the optimization, the capability of the product, so they're able to see in their own environments what we know the system will do.
Yeah, well.
And there's only one way to do that.
Is to do it.
Is to actually do it.
Right, so we've been working with your team on that. There's 30 compute hosts in a VMware cluster that we're backing up, and we've got 40, 50 VMs on each one, right?
That's right.
200 gig VMs, and then we're right now the guys are in the next room over actually doing the full backup on that. It looks like it should complete in 40, 45 minutes. Like, that's pretty quick to back up that scale of infrastructure.
It is. And I think, you know, so when you have 200 gigabit networking and you've got all flash drives from start to end, mm-hmm. you're going to get a fast result,
right?
And you know, we put that together because we wanted to have enough to push the system. We understand most customers don't have that in their environment,
right?
And that's okay. We really just wanted to kind of demonstrate things.
You bring up an important point though about where customers are. It kind of depends on where you catch them or who you're talking to within their infrastructure, because all the AI guys want 200, 400, you know, 800 gig networking for all their high-end stuff.
Yeah.
But backup is so often relegated to whatever's left.
Yeah.
So, like, you're right. Talking about putting high-speed networking in that part of the infrastructure. Customers aren't always ready for it, but they see that you guys are getting out there ahead of it, and that's critical too.
Yeah, we see the opportunity. It's going to catch up. I think that, you know, like we talked about earlier, data is scaling at a tremendous rate, and the networking is going to have to keep up. And you know, you could put the 200 gig networking in, and the system has to be able to take it, or you're going to flood it.
Right.
So we know that the DPA can take it. We know that the X10 can take it. I think our challenge here in this test was actually being able to push it. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to push.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like, what's the reality after that? We've got change rate. We've got a node that can fail, and how do we get that back? Because as much as you're excited about, and rightfully so, the rates of the stuff going in, because that's what most people do, the rates going out really are fundamental too to when you need
absolutely.
This thing back.
Well, I mean, it's a rapid restore, mm-hmm. or a fast restore solution, right? I mean, that's what we're talking to customers about, which is, how do I make sure I am resilient if and when it happens?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do I get it back? And we're talking to multiple customers right now that are telling us, hey, in our current infrastructure, we've got, you know, this database, or we've got these workloads that we need to be able to get back in, you know, 4 hours, and it's currently taking us, you know, a day and a half.
Which is not good. I mean, it's not good for anyone.
It's not good, but it's the common reality. And it's the unspoken reality, right? I mean, I think, look, I'm not going to say it's the hard, fast rule. Mm-hmm. However, I think there's probably more scenarios out there where customers need their data back faster than they can get it back.
Oh, there's no doubt that whatever their SLA is, that's not best case scenario. Everyone wants it back now, like immediately. And we've seen how many outages over the years and downtime that just destroys business brands because they can't get it back.
They can't get back. And that's real, money. You know, you see all of the Gartner and the Forrester and, you know, all the big analyst houses. They do these things where you can go Google them and they say that, you know, on average businesses lose, I don't know, you know, X number of dollars per hour or minute or however they do the math. But, you know, all you have to do is, you know, go look up the revenue for the customer that you're talking to and just do a little bit of quick math and you can have a very real conversation with a customer and help them realize that, guess what, they're in that boat too. And when that system goes down, they're losing real dollars.
All right, so we've got all these innovations. The DPAN is fundamentally changing the game for the way, I think, how customers are going to think about what's possible with backup. And I guess that's really in recovery. And I guess that's really the exciting thing about this. You've got people testing it. You're getting exciting feedback. What have we missed? What is there something else, or what's the key takeaway that when you're talking to customers, you're leaving them with, or what's resonating the most with them?
You know, I think one of the things that gets I think one of the things that is underappreciated or doesn't get talked about as much is the parallel scaling.
Okay.
So, or the linear scaling, I should say, because with the DPA, you know, you can stack 1, 2, 3, 4 and split those streams. And I think every time I have a conversation with customers or somebody in the industry like you, it's kind of like, all right, cool, you know, it can do that. And I think if you really sit back and think about what that means, that I can just add another unit to my rack and I can expand by another 2 petabytes of data protection, and I can take my ingest from 300 terabytes an hour to 600 terabytes an hour, it makes it a lot easier to forecast your needs. It makes it easier to forecast your potential spend. It makes it easier to future-proof and know where you're going and what it's going to take to get there.
I think it makes it easier for the organization to say yes, doesn't it?
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, that's fundamentally, can we do this? Yes.
Yeah.
And to be able to say that with confidence from that organization, which is normally under attack, like figuratively and literally at all times, to be able to say yes more often, that's probably pretty
feels
sweet.
Good. Yeah, feels good.
All right, so we'll link to the page. You've got blog, you got other stuff. We've got content we've created around the accelerator node. We'll link to all of that in the description. So check that out for more information on the Data Protection Accelerator node. Chad, thanks for doing this.
Great talking to you.